Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don Neely view system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
It's Tour Live. It's Neil Atkinson with John Gibbons, with Ian Ryan, with Grace Maley to talk about. There's so much to talk about. To talk about Tottenham Hotspur, that is to come. To talk about Liverpool's excellent victory against Villarreal in the second half, that is to come. It's the first time I've seen John since he's got back. He can tell me how much it rained. That is the only thing I am interested in. But we will start off talking about who Liverpool's final opponents are. And Ian Ryan, you know, it's crazy stuff. And there's... I ultimately think and know that Manchester City are better at football than Real Madrid. But my God, have they got some madness on their side this season. If there's a reason to be concerned about anything, it's be concerned about the madness.
I think that's really fair. I think the relationship they've had and have currently still got with the European Cup should cause, you know, one or two to have a little bit of fear, I suppose. And I think, you know, you can't forget, Neil, City with a better side, certainly in Manchester, and then they keep it incredibly quiet for the majority of last night's game. I mean, Real Madrid don't even get close to having a shot on target until, you know, the kind of dying seconds. And, you know, they've managed to put six goals past Man City over the kind of two legs and stuff. So you can't turn your nose up at that. That's still some doing. You know, City got the best defensive record in the league. And people might say at times, well, a lot of teams don't have a go at them, but you've still got to kind of punish teams when those chances present themselves. And I think it will be tough. And what I was really impressed with last night from a Madrid point of view, whilst they did struggle to impact the game for large periods, the fact that there's still that almost desire, that want to go to another European Cup final. I mean, bear in mind, over half the team have got multiple Champions League trophies now. Not all of them out, but a lot of them have, and they've been there and they've done it. And yet there's still this kind of desire, not only from the manager, who's going to be in his fifth European Cup final, which is some going, by the way. I think it's a record. You've got to take your hat off to Real Madrid. Against all the odds in the dying seconds, what they did last night was superb.
Arguably, John, Real Madrid are the poorer side for 178 minutes out of 180, and yet they progress. That is a thing to be very, very conscious of from a Liverpool point of view. I think we will kick off favourites, which I think is interesting, and I think that most games Liverpool play, they are favourites for. But I think Ian's point there about their desperation to win, you very much feel as though for a fair few of these players, they probably know it's the last throw of the dice, it's the last go around the fairgrounds. They've got to try and make it happen this time, and they've got just 90 minutes in Paris.
Yeah, but also, I mean, that's true, but I was really impressed with those young lads last night, the ones who especially came on and changed the game for them. And I think, you know, that's something to be feared as well. You know, this idea that, I don't watch tons of Spanish football. I don't even know what channel it's on. I can't find it most of the time, in my defence. But you know a little bit about Real Madrid. You watch the Champions League and stuff like that, and you're aware of the work. But some, you know, the young players who came on and as he changed the game for them and showed that, you know, lack of fear and on the sort of the biggest stage really is, I think, something to be concerned with as well. I think Liverpool, you know, in terms of the starting 11s, I think will be better than Real. And I think, look, we'll have quality off the bench as well. And we showed that, you know, in spades against Villarreal. But that was just an extra little thing there where you think, hang on, these lads, you know, they're not just talented players, but also, you know, they've got that mentality of, I am a Real Madrid player and I can prove that on the biggest stage.
Grace, from Liverpool's point of view, you can do a big don't care who we play thing. And also you can do a big, and it, the right thing to do is to say to win the Champions League, the final's never going to be straightforward. That is the case. I think psychologically for a lot of Liverpool supporters, and I think also though for the feeling of it being Europe, it's nicer to play any non-English side. The feeling that it is a European game, I think is better than, you know, the feeling that it's just same old one way or the other.
Yeah, that's definitely how I felt going into last night's game. I was very much like, I don't want it to be just like another Premier League game. I don't want to play City again. I'd rather they got knocked out. And I just think last night I was sat there watching it in work thinking, come on, Madrid, come on, Madrid. But then I'm like, it's still going to be a tough game when we play them. It's not going to be easy. Like they showed last night how a game can flip on its head in the space of like 2 minutes. The quality they've got and the quality of their goals last night was like on another level. The headers were just... Oh, I was just sat there watching, thinking it's not going to be easy for us, but I would 100% rather play Madrid than City, just because I just think it's funny the way Guardiola thinks that he's got it all mastered, like football's his game and all that.
Honestly, Grace, I don't think he does, to be fair. If you ask him this morning, would he go, I haven't got a fucking clue what's going on, to be honest with you.
But I was looking at his record, so like he's won it once in his last 10 seasons as a manager with Bayern, Barcelona and City. And I was just thinking, I think he must think he's got it mastered to some degree, but clearly not as good as us, because look at where we are and look at where they are.
I think the idea of Guardiola, and honestly, I actually felt sorry for him last night in that.
Why?
Because he's done about as much, like he can't be on the pitch. He's done about as much as he can do. They've looked after the ball. They've kept the game quiet. It's only 1-0. He's made his subs. He's worried about legs. The Mighty Reds are hunting him down every day. The Mighty Reds, that's all he's thinking about. And then he probably thinks, I'm nearly there. And then all of a sudden, he's probably thinking, I can't believe I've got to play Liverpool in the final. I could do without that. But then all of a sudden, it just crumbles around them. And the speed of the crumble, I think, is the strangest thing from City's point of view, Ian. It just absolutely disappeared. And as soon as Real got the penalty, City were never getting back in, and they didn't even create a meaningful chance.
No, and I think you see Real Madrid's kind of experience come to the fore. I mean, as soon as it went kind of 3-1, you thought, right, game over. There's not a chance they're going to get an opportunity, because Real Madrid will just kill time. And, you know, They are the experts at doing some of that dark art stuff. Lots of Spanish teams are. We know we've been on the end of it ourselves at times. I think Guardiola, he conducted himself pretty well, I thought, post-match, because every kind of fibre in him must have been wanting to scream, because they are finding new ways. They are finding new ways, Neil, to go to the Champions League, aren't they? And I mean, you know, you see the one that they have against Spurs, and it's the disallowed goal and obviously the VAR stuff. And it was, I mean, I remember watching that at the time, or certainly seeing the kind of highlights, because I think Liverpool were playing at the exact same time. I remember watching that back thinking, my God, the kind of pain you must be in to be on the end of that. And then they find another way last night where you're thinking, and everyone to a man is sitting there thinking, right, it's Liverpool, it's Man City in the final, because Real Madrid have offered nothing. And City, to their credit, they kept them so quiet. And you can have a look at Real Madrid and say, well, could they have done more? But I think from Guardiola's point of view, he's sitting there on 90 or 89 thinking, we couldn't have done any more yet. They've had no shots.
All right, boys.
They've not had a sniff. We've gone away. We've got the goal. We've scored in the last 17 minutes. It's perfect. We've executed the plan to perfection. And then, as can happen at Anfield, strange things can happen in the Bernabeu when it comes to the European Cup. They've proven it this year. PSG, Chelsea, you know, I thought when Chelsea go there, Chelsea are brilliant, and you could argue should have gone through, but Real Madrid find a way, Liverpool find a way. There's these teams that play in the European Cup who've got a history, whether people like it or not, they find a way. And, you know, Real Madrid do that last night, and they've obviously, you know, come out winners of the tie. They go into another European Cup final against Liverpool. And, you know, for all the reasons that people have mentioned on this show, but prior to this show, it does not feel glamorous. I mean, playing Real Madrid in Paris, you know, we were saying on a show the other week, you know, Alan Kennedy, fucking hell. I mean, I hope he's prepared for this, because he is going to be one busy boy over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, he will indeed have to gird his loins. Grace, I just quoted Jerry Rampage there. Maybe Jerry was christened Jerry Rampage, but you know, I don't. You don't get many Rampages down by ours. But he said, if the Mighty Reds weren't 1 point behind, Guardiola wouldn't have made the subs he made last night. And for me, this is a really important thing in that all of these games have become connected. And I think that there is a big thing there where Guardiola, listen, if City are 8 points clear with four to go, then Guardiola basically flogs the boys in Europe, says if you've got to throw the weekend game or just be substantially weaker for the weekend game, absolutely fine. We'll have time to go and make the points up for that. All these games are connected. The more Fernandinho plays football, the better off Liverpool are, is almost a way to look at this at the moment. And I think that's a massive part of last night, and it could have ramifications for us moving through the last four.
I think that's the way you have to look at it. Like, when you're firing on all fronts, you need your strongest team across both competitions. And when you look at it, City have a strong side. I've always said they've got a strong bench. And before this season, you'd look at them and you'd think, you know what, the quality of the players they bring in off the bench terrifies me, because we didn't have that squad depth. We didn't have it. So for us, I was like, you know what, they're a stronger team. But now when I look at it, I think, you look at last night, they played extra time. Like, come on. Surely against Newcastle, they're going to be absolutely knackered. Come on. Just like Kyle Walker got injured as well last night, didn't he? So you look at things like that, all the competitions have become connected, because you can't afford to play your strongest team in all games. You've got to rotate slightly, because otherwise your players are going to be absolutely done in. So hopefully this weekend we can see the cost of that extra time last night. Because when I was in work last night, I was on Pep's post-match press conference, and he just looked like he was going to cry the whole time. And I was just sat there howling, thinking, you know what, this is actually hysterical. I didn't want extra time. But then now that when we had it afterwards, I was thinking, you know what, this is a good thing for us, because hopefully they'll be knackered going into the weekend. And then, you know, hopefully they slip up in some sort of way.
Yeah, suddenly the schedule looks so much kinder for us, John. And you were in Villarreal when Liverpool were... But abject first half, you know, that is the way to look at it. But Liverpool had turned around from Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday. But Liverpool go, they pull away, they win the game, you know, 3-2. Most of the players who start are part of that 3-2 victory. No one really comes off the bench and is the cavalry apart from Diaz. And now we've got extra rest going into the one against Tottenham. And now we haven't had extra time. And the one against Tottenham, you know, is at home for us as well. And then we've got obviously kick on then. We've got Tuesday, they've got Wednesday. It just feels like it's piling up. And I'll be honest, I don't like the idea that City are bottling than anything. I just think they're being worn down. They look to me like a football team. It was being worn down by games, by intensity, by events. They are being eroded to their core.
Yeah, I wish they had a slightly different game at the weekend, to be honest with you. Newcastle at home, the fact that it's Sunday as well, isn't it? You know, it gives them a sort of the extra day there. I do wish, you know, I take your points, I take everyone's point, but you know, this would be a weekend I'd love them to be going to West Ham, for example. Now I know West Ham have got the Thursday night game, so maybe that doesn't quite work. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A team who are paid, who are in front of their own fans and have got a sort of a little bit more to play for. Newcastle are enjoying themselves at the moment, but they're very mid table, and this is sort of a way. So I feel like the game's weird, slightly kinder, but it does suddenly feel like a bit more of a slog for City than it does for us, really. And we've got that FA Cup final as well. But for our lads, don't get me wrong, one or two of them are looking like they played a lot of games this season, but not many of them. And I think we're getting away with our rotation a little bit more than what Man City are as well. I think, you know, famously that semi-final, they got a bit caught out, didn't he? Swap one or two too many. Yeah. and pay for it and finds himself 3-0 down before he knows what's going on. I think
and now hasn't won the Champions League semi on top of it.
Yeah, and you know, there's a couple of the lads I was a bit surprised to see go off sort of that early. Someone mentioned De Bruyne there. I thought he looked knackered. But one or two of the others I thought could have sort of stayed on a little bit longer. But it's hard, and you need a bit of luck. And that's for, you know, I was thinking about Ferguson's treble season, and someone in an interview a couple of years later, someone said to Ferguson, how did you do that? He said, well, we had a fair bit of luck. And I imagine Guardiola this morning is thinking he didn't have any. And one of those is Liverpool Football Club.
One of those is indeed Liverpool Football Club. Liverpool sorting it out against Villarreal, Ian, to go back to the very start of the week. Liverpool were, you know, it was a really poor first half. I think in lots of ways, listen, Villarreal take a bunch of chances. They also get an early goal. They get the crowd up. It works for them for a period of time. But I think, I'm not going to say you can overanalyze this, because my God, I don't want to pull the house of cards down around us, but you can, you can, you know, sometimes literally players play badly and that breeds to other players playing badly and suddenly no one can quite do what they need to do and suddenly no one's quite backing themselves. Half-time comes as a great time for Liverpool to be able to reset and restart.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. I think it was a performance that not many of us saw coming. And I think sometimes complacency can be a thing. We don't like to talk about that because we think, you know, we like to think our players and the manager and everyone's perfect and stuff around the club. And I think for a lot of the time that is true. But I think it's hard sometimes if you've played the team the week before and you know you are far superior, maybe there's an element of you wouldn't be human if some of that just didn't seep into your kind of, you know, your kind of subconsciousness a little bit. And you know, I think that plays out a little bit. Liverpool just start a little bit slow. And all the things you're saying before the game is, well, don't give them anything to hang on to. Don't give them any hope in the first 10 or 15. And yet we do. And I think...
Gave them, you know, loads of hope.
You couldn't give them any more hope if you tried, in fairness. And I think, you know, what's a testament to this team and this manager is that they go and sort it out. And I think you mentioned this on the show, Neil. You know, the easiest thing in the world is to pull the trigger on a number of substitutions. And I think everyone sitting probably either in the ground or at home is thinking, well, you've got to make at least two. He does one. And he, don't get me wrong, the one he does is a hell of a substitution. And we talked about, you know, how you might use Luis Diaz on Under the Light. And I always felt that I'd probably start him, but I had a sneaking feeling the manager might just want to hold him back because when legs start to tire, you don't want to face Luis Diaz. You just don't want to face him. I mean, you can argue you don't want to face him at all at any point of the game because he is that good at the minute. And he's one thrilling footballer to watch. But he does come on. He does change the game. But there's others as well. There's a lot of players there who raise their levels. And maybe they do get the shock of those two goals in the first 45. And the manager's obviously tweaked it. I thought it was interesting. You know, a lot of the players spoke after the game that he remained calm. And I think that's important. You know, there's a lot of leaders who lead football clubs who would not remain calm in those moments, but he does. And I think that's something that always shines through with this manager. I think he's able to ride the highs particularly well, but he understands how to manage the lows as well. And he does that. And Liverpool come out and we're a different team. And they're also a different team. I think they've put an awful lot into that 45 to the point where they are shattered. And why wouldn't you be? Because they've given everything. And they don't tend to play football in that manner anyway. That's not their natural game. So, Liverpool deserve great credit. And I don't think, you know, you don't want to be beating people over the head for a poor 45 when we've had one hell of a season, which could end in absolute, you know, glory, you know, beyond our wildest dreams, quite frankly. They deserve an awful lot of credit for putting that second 45, you know, right where we wanted it.
The idea of the manager being calm, Grace, I think is massive because I think you actually get to see it in the football on the pitch in the second half. They take an extra touch. They find a little bit more space. They play an extra pass. They stop trying to force the ball every single time they get it. And for me, that's the thing that makes the difference. You know, it's fascinating. It's the holding midfielder who's able to almost waltz up the pitch and end up in their penalty area to then smash it home. You know, that wasn't happening earlier in the game. And the reason why was the game was so stretched. It was so end-to-end and it wasn't like Liverpool were doing anything that good, but there was no like phases of control where suddenly one player can burst, he can pick his moment and burst. It was just loads of lads running around and bursting all over the pitch, which wasn't useful. And that's what does change in the second half. It's that calm.
Yeah, we've noticed when sides come to Anfield, especially when they put up this attack and threat first half, that sometimes we just don't know how to deal with it because we're so attacking ourselves. It's like when both teams attack, the game's too stretched, it's just too open. And that's what Villarreal did in the week. They come out fighting first half, like kept up that press. And to be fair, if they'd have kept that up all game, we'd have struggled, but they didn't have it in them to keep it up all game, especially when you look at bringing on the likes of Diaz, who just fires on all fronts. Like, I'm just absolutely staggered at how well he's settled into this football club. It looks like he's been here for years and he's literally not been here that long. But you mentioned that extra touch. Like, you look at Mane's goal when he had that ball, I was thinking, oh my God, hit it. He took an extra touch and I was like, oh my God, he's going to blow it. But obviously we knew at that point that we were probably all right anyway. But you know, when you're just like, it's that calmness to know that we have the talent and the ability to beat these and we just need to do it. And first off, we didn't do that. We didn't really play. So second half for us to turn it around like that, I thought it just shows, like, sums up our season. But I was saying to Harriet, basically, even, you know, games last season or the season before, you'd be in this position and I'd be thinking, oh, I'm so nervous. You'd be getting like, we'd be up against it at half time and I'd be thinking, oh, are we going to do this? the other night, oh, I was fine. I was thinking, you know what? We prove we've got quality. We've done it all season. We'll be absolutely fine. And we were. And I've never had that before. But it just shows, like, the quality of this Liverpool team. Like, we can actually trust that they're going to do a good job because we've seen how well they've played all season.
The trust is massive, John. And I think that is the trust they've got in one another because they knew they could just find the level they needed to go to. You can underestimate the importance of that, I think. I've seen very good Liverpool teams get swamped in a game and not be able to claw it back. I've seen Liverpool teams that under Jurgen Klopp, of whom that would actually be an adequate description to an extent, this team itself, earlier in the season, West Ham away, they get swamped early in the game, clawed it back. Then they come out second half, get swamped again, and they can't find the way back. This one at the minute feels as though it can always find its way back.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing, and that breeds more confidence because you've done it. And this is now another game where the manager can point to, if need be, and go, do you remember in that game when you were awful first half, but we sorted it out? And I think you showed a lot of confidence in the midfield as well. And someone made the point about Naby Keita on the comments that you pulled up. And I'd have probably subbed Keita at halftime. That's probably the one I'd have done because I saw a midfield problem. But the manager almost solved the midfield problem with a forward, didn't he? And said, well, actually, he didn't think his wide forwards were doing necessarily what he needed to. So let's get Manny in the middle. Let's get Diaz out there. And then suddenly the options were open for him. Diaz is always the outball. The way he's able to carry it, the way he's able to stretch the pitch. They're having to drop deeper, which means it's harder to press because it's you know, there's a lot bigger space between defence and attack. And all those things really, you know, but it's also a showing faith in the midfield. If I just change the surroundings, they'll suddenly look much better, and that's what they did. And you know, they back each other, and you see how close they are. You know, they're able to give each other a telling off as well on the pitch and things like that. But I think, you know, that only comes from the level really of you know, being there, being able to have done it, and they've come through everything now together, and they know that they're now as well, with a couple of reinforcements, of course, and they're going to come through. You back them too, and they back each other too, come through everything that the opposition have to throw at us between now and the end of the season.
Okay then, this is Tor Live. If you listen to it as a podcast, there's now a couple of inserts in which I will do a separate little sound file to crack on with that, because the reason is Ian's got to get off at half one. We've got other stuff to do as well. The clock's all ticking, so there's nothing we can do. We're not going to stand on any ceremony here. Thank you very much for listening to Tor Live this week. It's all a little bit hectic in there. Just basically couldn't find some of the logout details before it started, which knocked our times absolutely everywhere. I will obviously I take a good long look at the mirror for that sort of thing. But anyway, I hope you're enjoying this Liverpoolian season. How couldn't you be? It does not get better than this. The whole thing, I think, which is really interesting, has been founded on this notion that these footballers are going to do everything they can to enjoy it. The footballers enjoying it means that we can as well. And all the way through the season on the Anfield Wrap, we've wanted to have that for you. The idea of as much enjoyment, as much relish in the moments, as much savour in the journey of this Liverpool team as humanly possible. They've been all in, and I'd like to think we've been as close to all in as we get to be as well. If you haven't had the opportunity to do so yet, please do consider downloading the app, and on there you can see everything that we do around every single Liverpool game. No matter what aspect of the game that you perhaps want, we're there for you with a show, with an Outlook video and audio, everything across the board. And if you download the app, you can use the tokens there and see what we do for free before deciding whether or not you would like to subscribe. You can now subscribe through the app if you want to do so, and there you'll then be able to see all the audio, all the video, anything that you want with the Anfield Wrap. Thank you very much for supporting us over the course of the campaign. It has been very much appreciated. Coming up now is a conversation with me, with Andy Roach from Laugh Hard Comedy, about the night he's putting on in my neck of the woods, all the way up in Waterloo. I say all the way, it's only 14 minutes on the train. I know that, I got it this morning. And from there, everything he's been looking to do around Crosby in terms of putting stand-up comedy on. It was a pleasure to speak to Andy earlier in the week, so do check it out if you have the opportunity to do so. Laugh Hard Comedy at the Plaza on the 4th of June. But anyway, here's me talking to Andy about it.
It's John Gibbons for the Anfield Wrap, with another insert courtesy of Audio Boom. Thanks a lot to them for supporting us, and to NordVPN, who are partnering with us again. What a great set of lads and lasses they are. And they've also, for you, got an exclusive NordVPN deal. If you go to nordvpn.com/wrap, that's nordvpn.com/wrap, and use the code WRAP when prompted, you get a huge discount off your plan, plus free threat protection, plus an additional month for absolutely free. So they're throwing absolutely loads in, and it's all also completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not sure, if you try it for a little bit, to that confidence that they offered you a 30-day money-back guarantee. There's absolutely loads of benefits to NordVPN. Most obvious one being that you can access internet being in different countries, so you can change where you're accessing the internet from. And that allows you for things, let's say a certain football match or certain sporting events or anything that you might want to watch is on in one country and not another. You can just change to that country and access that. There's lots of other benefits as well, including extra protection. So often when we were in airports, and I was in a couple of airports in Spain over the couple of weeks, and you join the Wi-Fi and it tells you it's not exactly risk-free. It just adds you a little bit of extra threat protection in those scenarios as well. And it is the fastest VPN about. So if people say to you that it slows it down too much, NordVPN is the fastest one about. So if you want to give it a go, it's nordvpn.com/wrap. nordvpn.com/wrap. I'm used it. Really, really pleased with it. And thanks to them for partnering with us.
Joined by Andy Roach to talk about the Laugh Hard Comedy Club. It's got a big event coming up in the Plaza on Crosby Road South, I think it is called, formerly when you put it into an Uber and all that sort of nonsense. The big road that links Crosby in and out of town goes through Waterloo, and that's where the Plaza is. You'll know where the Plaza is. It's opposite the library. I mean, literally, I'm talking about places that are less than 5 minutes walk from my house here as I talk to Andy. So if you need to know, just ring me, text where it is precisely. Andy's got a big event happening there, but it stems out of smaller events that he's been doing with the Laugh Hard Comedy Club, starting earlier this year in Rocksalt on Coronation Road. Rocksalt, very good place to get your breakfast, I'd hasten to add. But you've been running comedy nights in Rocksalt through the year.
That's right, Neil, yeah. So Rocksalt has been the venue and the headquarters, if you will, of Laugh Hard Comedy since February. And sort of accidentally, the management there at Rocksalt have designed the perfect comedy room in their function room. Don't think it was the intention, but nevertheless, it's certainly worked for us. And so they do things like christenings, baby showers, gender reveals in the function room. And I spoke to a guy called Andy Peters, who one of the owners of the Rocksalt there earlier this year, and thought there's an opportunity here to do a local comedy night. And you know, we put the first few on, and all of a sudden we're getting waiting lists for tickets. So the next thing was, okay, is there more of an appetite there than maybe a first thought?
But the thing is, firstly, where Rocksalt is, you know, Crosby itself's got a lot going on. It's a busy enough place. But you're putting on sort of every once a month on a Thursday night, first Thursday of the month at Rocksalt, you're putting on five or six comedians every single Thursday night. And that's, sorry, every single first Thursday of the month. And that's going really, really well there.
It is. And it's been, I mean, you've got to remember, put this into context, after the last 18 months, 2 years, to have people all together in a room, laughing again locally, it's been amazing. And the sort of the acts on the night, as you say, 5 or 6, we normally do two, a break, two, another break, and then close off with another two, usually headlined by someone who's got good circuit experience on the comedy scene, and then supplemented by other people who are sort of coming through, emerging, sometimes, you know, younger people who've sort of only been doing comedy for a year or so. And those nights, as I say, being really, really well received, some great feedback on them. You know, just looking at some of the reviews after the shows. So that's, as I say, that's a monthly thing. And the idea will be to continue with those monthly in the smaller venue. And then sort of leaning into the next thing about the Plaza event is just to see, actually, can we take this to the next level, so to speak?
But the Plaza, and it is Crosby Road North, I've just double checked whilst we were speaking. The Plaza is, firstly, it's a hugely iconic venue across South Sefton, really, as a whole. You know, it's an old style, now community run cinema. It's a really, really good place. And in there, you know, you'll have the old, big old room. You've got the stalls for the event. And who is it that is going to be appearing at this one? And how excited are you?
Well, the comedians on the bill are absolutely first class. This is the show, truth be told, I would want to see.
Well, you get to book it.
Exactly. So that's the promoter's privilege, so to speak. The headline act on the evening is a guy called Scott Bennett, who is absolutely amazing, one of the top comedians on the circuit at the moment. He's just been supporting people like John Bishop on tour. He featured on Live at the Apollo, I believe it was last November. Mm-hmm. Anna Thomas is the reigning BBC New Comedian of the Year. she's on the bill also. And then we've got a guy called Mike Newell, not the former Blackburn fullback, but Mike Newell, who's been on Britain's Got Talent. He's another fantastic comedian. And then we've got Carl Porter and Peter Edge rounding out the bill. And I will be the host and MC of that show.
Excellent stuff. It is on the 4th of June. And, you know, as part of this, it's in part, firstly, because the success of the Rock Salt Night going ever so well, also helps support the Plaza, keeps the Plaza involved in new sort of aspects of the community. It's something which, 4th of June, you've got it at the end of the season, so pressure's off for everyone. People can get themselves down and really enjoy it.
Well, exactly, yeah. It's you know, in the Jubilee weekend. And it's
so bank holiday, everyone
bank holiday. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's end of the season. Hopefully, we'll have those four trophies to reminisce about on the night. And you know, maybe the Blues, depending on whether they've survived or not, in the audience will allow us a moment or two of celebration.
It is in there. It is just to, you know, to round off what you're looking to do, because obviously, the way Liverpool operates, a lot of Liverpool, it revolves around the city. We all know that, and that's fine. You know, literally, our office is in the city. It's not elsewhere. Liverpool is quite a city space. But it is important, isn't it, that the areas on the periphery of the city, whether it's South Sefton, like Crosby, whether it's Bootle, whether or not it's, you know, we were discussing earlier on, Gattaca, Mossley Hill, Smithdown Road, that the community projects that exist there, the community sort of endeavours that exist there are supported, but also that they're enjoyed. It shouldn't be the idea. It's not an obligation. It's that people should come because they're great. And if this works, this one, it's something you'll be looking to do on a more regular basis in the Plaza, as well as keep Rock Salt going.
That's it. Absolutely, Neil. I mean, as you mentioned, the Plaza is, in effect, a charity. It's run in that way. It's staffed mainly by volunteers. Yeah. The general manager there, Martin Fall, fantastic guy. He does a really good job running the place. But yeah, it is a community asset. But nonetheless, you know, the night itself is going to be top draw, top quality. It's like there's a number of other different alternative types of nights going on at the Plaza, supplemented by obviously the film program that they operate as well generally there. And in terms of the night, yeah, it's you know, I do think there's a place for, as you said, that local community idea of a night that we can actually just walk to potentially, yep, rather than go into town.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got Hot Water Comedy Club, for example, in Liverpool City Centre, who just do an absolutely phenomenal job, and you know, one or two of the bits going on in the city centre. But there is a place, I believe, for, say, a local night where people can feel that actually we're part of this. The first night we've had some returners, in fact, quite a few returners, which I think bodes well generally for you know, how people have got on coming along tonight. So, yeah.
Excellent stuff. It is the 4th of June. Thank you very much to Andy Roach for coming in. It will be at the Plaza, 13 Crosby Road North, the Laugh Hard Comedy Club. In the meantime, check it out at Rock Salt on the first Thursday of every single month. It is doing the absolute business, but the Plaza for the big one. Fill those stalls. Have a wonderful time. Tickets are available through the Plaza website, and from there it'll take you to skiddle.com, or you can go direct to skiddle.com and find them there. But either way, you've got the Plaza or you've got skiddle.com. And it is... How much? £10, says Andy at the back there. I've switched his microphone off. It's very rude of me. Anyway, do check it out. Do have a great time if you get across to the Plaza in order to enjoy Laugh Hard Comedy Club.
It's John Gibbons with the football prizes insert. And first of all, congratulations to one of our subscribers who won a signed Thiago shirt. Put it in the Facebook subscribers group and absolutely made up. It looked brilliant in his house there. And you could be a winner too. And this week's prize is an absolute belter, I have to say that. It's a signed Sadio Mane personalised 21-22 shirt dedicated to you. So there we are. So they've got a deal with Sadio where this shirt is not just signed by Sadio but says two and your name or a person's name who you love very dearly. And I tell you what, you'd have to love them very much to give this away. But it is a prize no Liverpool fan will want to win. There's also 14 incredible instant win prizes. So what these are is there's only 199 tickets, and basically there's certain numbers that if you get one of those, you get an instant win, and that could be a signed Virgil shirt or a signed Trent Alexander-Arnold shirt or things like that. And so if you get one and it's their number, you'll get one of those as well. So it is absolutely you know, the week to have a go at this if you haven't yet. The tickets are £9.95, but as I say, there's only 199 available. So you have got a decent chance of winning that signed, personalised Sadio Mane shirt, but also these 14 instant win prizes as well, which includes a signed Virgil shirt and a signed Trent Alexander-Arnold shirt. I don't think they're personalised. I think those are ones that you just get. But still, looks good in the house, doesn't it? Hopefully your partner likes Liverpool Football Club as well. But to enter, and you've got till Thursday, the 12th of May on this at 7:30, so a little bit of time. Thursday the 12th of May, and then there's a live draw on their Facebook on Monday the 16th of May, so you've got a week to win this brilliant prize. And I'll just get the address up for you now. It's footballprizes.co.uk/product/Mane-personalized. So it's footballprizes.co.uk/product/Mane-personalized. Or if you just go to Football Prizes website, I'm sure you'll find it, and we'll get that out on our social. But best of luck. And if you do win, let me know, because I'll be made up for you.
Thank you very much for listening to Tour Live this week. It's all a little bit hectic in there. Just basically couldn't find some of the logon details before it started, which knocked our times absolutely everywhere. I will obviously I take a good long look at the mirror for that sort of thing. But anyway, I hope you're enjoying this Liverpudlian season. How couldn't you be? It does not get better than this. The whole thing, I think, which is really interesting, has been founded on this notion that these footballers are going to do everything they can to enjoy it. The footballers enjoying it means that we can as well. And all the way through the season on the Anfield Wrap, we wanted to have that for you. The idea of as much enjoyment, as much relish in the moment, as much savour in the journey of this Liverpool team as humanly possible. They've been all in, and I'd like to think we've been as close to all in as we get to be as well. If you haven't had the opportunity to do so yet, please do consider downloading the app, and on there you can see everything that we do around every single Liverpool game. No matter what aspect of the game that you perhaps want, we're there for you with a show, with an Outlook video and audio, everything across the board. And if you download the app, you can use the tokens there and see what we do for free before deciding whether or not you would like to subscribe. You can now subscribe through the app if you want to do so, and there you'll then be able to see all the audio, all the video, anything that you want with the Anfield Wrap. Thank you very much for supporting us over the course of the campaign. It has been very much appreciated. Coming up now is a conversation with me, with Andy Roach from Laugh Hard Comedy, about the night he's putting on in my neck of the woods, all the way up in Waterloo. I say all the way, it's only 14 minutes on the train. I know that, got it this morning. And from there, everything he's been looking to do around Crosby in terms of putting stand-up comedy on. It was a pleasure to speak to Andy earlier in the week, so do check it out if you have the opportunity to do so. Laugh Hard Comedy at the Plaza on the 4th of June. But anyway, here's me talking to Andy about it. That was the end of part one. This is the start of part two. He says, writing down 2035 on his hand there. That's the way the Anfield app operates. It's a pen on a hand at the best of times. Liverpool have got Tottenham Hotspur this weekend. Ian Ryan. And Ian, as we've only got you for 7 more minutes, let's make the most of them. We'll go to you first. It's a massive game. It's a massive game of association football. It really is. And I like that it's Saturday night. It's Saturday night, by the way, because the Championship teams are all playing at 12:30. So they have that slot on their last weekend of the season. So Liverpool, we haven't had to tickle any tummies. We haven't had to scratch any backs. We've got ourselves 7:45 for this one against Tottenham Hotspur. Anfield will be bedlam.
I think it will. I think it needs to be. I think this is one where, if I'm being totally honest, I am a little bit concerned about. And I think, you know, listen, on paper, Liverpool are a far superior team to Tottenham. They've proven that over the course of the season so far. But I just think certain teams can cause you certain problems if you catch them on the wrong day. And I think Spurs have got a number of kind of tools in their armoury where they can cause you a significant problem if you allow it to happen. And don't get me wrong, I think in many ways, the Villarreal first 45 probably doesn't do us any harm. Because I think it just allows, you know, the manager to press the reset button a little bit and just say, listen, if you are complacent, if you do take your foot off it, if your eye is off the ball, even for, you know, a small amount of time in a football match at this level, teams can punish you. So maybe in that respect, you know, that's not a, you will look back at that 45 against Villarreal, the first half, and go, you know what, that didn't do us any harm at all. It just kind of focused the mind a little bit more into a bit of a sharper focus. So whilst I would still sit here and say, I think Liverpool will win the game. I do think it's tight. And, you know, if you're coming off the ground at, I'd say 10 o'clock or whatever it is, 9:45 on Saturday night, and it's ended up a draw, I wouldn't be massively surprised either, to be honest, because I think Liverpool have been on such a good run. You know, that can't continue forever. You want it to and you hope it will. But at some point, even the greatest football teams in the world can drop points and can slip up and stuff. And I think, you know, it is set up to be, I think, a bit of a cracker, to be honest. You know, the TV kind of thing and the kickoff time plays into that as well. You know, I think you can't underestimate sometimes as well. I mean, Spurs have got their own thing to fight for. You know, they're in a battle for the top four.
Can't forget that at all.
So you can't forget that. So they're coming with something to prove. But actually, you know, when John was talking before about, you know, Newcastle going to City, I don't think you can underestimate sometimes how teams can just get fired up to spoil the party. You know, we've seen it ourselves at times. And I know when we go to Newcastle, for instance, you know, when they're under Rafa Benitez, when they're under Rafa, I should say, and they just galvanise the crowd. It's a night game and stuff, and they've got nothing to play for. But I know there's the Benitez link there. I couldn't believe the energy levels from them that night and how much they wanted to almost stop Liverpool. And sometimes I just think teams can just raise the game just to want to spoil the party. But no, let's be under no illusion here. Spurs have got a lot to play for. You know, that top four thing is massive for them. They've got the big game with Arsenal on the horizon. But you just hope that Liverpool have got enough in the legs. They'll probably tweak one or two. You'll see Diaz come back, and I expect and start from the kickoff. Yeah, could be a cracker deal.
Could be a cracker, Grace. I think it will be a very, very good game. I think the thing is, Liverpool, this is one for a fast start, because the one thing that Conte won't want is to get whacked. The one thing we don't want is to spend 45 minutes, the first 45 minutes, looking for a goal and opening ourselves up increasingly on the counter-attack. You know, if Liverpool could cash in their 2-0 on 15 chips at some point this season, I'd quite like to do it on Saturday. I'd quite like the crowd to be up. And I'd also quite like Tottenham to be left thinking, well, there's more challenges to come, to be honest. If Liverpool could start fast, then I think it may not be a classic. It may become a bit of a run-of-the-mill game where we all get to have a lovely time.
Yeah, we can't come out like we did against Villarreal the other night. We've got to come out and find that early goal straight up. I think if we hit them with our pace, we score an early goal, I think then we've won it, in my opinion. But I think if you give them any time on the ball, they'll show what they're capable of. Like, you look at Kane, you look at Son. The attack and threat off scares me, but at the same time, I'm like, no, because we can do more than that. So why are we so bothered about players like that when we know the quality we've got in our side? But I think the most important thing is they're going to try and get us on the counter, most probably. And I think what we need to do is try as well as we can to just keep the ball and keep up that attack and threat, but also make sure that we do get an early goal so that hopefully that spooks them slightly and then they think, oh, how much have we got in us to come back from that? But as Ian mentioned, they are after European football. They want to finish top four. And I think they'll be well up for it. I think, as you said, the kickoff times and everything seems to play into the favour of the fact that this could be a really good game and a good game for Spurs, and that they'll be well up for it when they come to Anfield. So, yeah, fingers crossed. But I think we'll do it. I just think it won't be that easy.
I think the key thing, John's going to be, for me, taking chances when they come, and I think we will get chances. They're still playing Ben Davies at centre-half. He's been a good pro. He's clearly a clever footballer, but he was never absolutely excellent at his very, very best. That's gone. Romero started the season poorly, but he's really come into it recently. Tons of aggression, but then that can work in our favour. Eric Dier, I think, started really well under Conte. He's looked a little bit less good. Emerson Royale's going to play. Every Tottenham supporter I speak to says he's a weak link. He's a weak link. And then they only play two in centre midfield as well. And if we can just get hold of the ball and look after it, I'm convinced we can create chances. The thing is the threat that the front three of Tottenham poses.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's how much they're going to see the ball. You know, we've seen them, you know, break the lines. We've seen them sort of get over the top. You know, Liverpool, we play the high line play for a reason, but Tottenham have been one team who have been able to exploit that, but they need the ball. And that's my thing, is that I don't think they're going to see very much of it, and certainly not for quite a while at the start. So I don't know. We might be 2-0 up before Harry Kane gets a touch, to be honest with you, if we start how we should do. And so that's what their concern will be. Not that, oh, can we hurt Liverpool, is that we're going to get the opportunities to. Are we going to see the ball? And are we going to find ourselves one or two down before we know it? I think Liverpool are going to be so pumped for it. I think the kickoff time does help us. I think, you know, I think he might pick a team. It might be one of those where he picks a side with an eye on, you know, sort of what's going on. I think Milner's going to play. I thought he was great against Newcastle, and I think he's sort of become another option. And I don't know. Saturday night says James Milner to me, just volleying, lads.
I mean, that is the spirit, most definitely the spirit. Ian, is there any change you see coming from Jurgen Klopp?
I think I mentioned before, you know, you'd fully expect Diaz to come in now and start the game. I mean, I'd probably be starting him every single game now until the end of the season, and there's not that many left, is there? But I think he just looks to be one that's got that that little bit extra in them at the minute. And I think, you know, for all the brilliance of Diogo Jota up front of goal, I think it's been mentioned many times that, you know, there are maybe some games that just pass him by a little bit. That's not to say he's not got a part to play. I'm sure he absolutely has, but I think I'd be making that change. Don't know where Firmino is in terms of fitness, but I'm guessing he probably wouldn't be fit to start this one. And I think it'll be Henderson, Fabinho and Thiago in the middle of the park. I think that's what he'll look to do. I think, you know, Naby Keita, whilst having a decent second half the other night, I thought he did have a poor 45, and he was by no means the only one. You know, Thiago wasn't particularly great in that 45, but I just think Thiago's really shown his importance over the last couple of months in terms of dictating play, get Liverpool on the front foot, and the ability to switch play really, really well. I think he almost has to play. I think he's always got one eye on his fitness and stuff, but at the minute, that looks okay. And then in the back four, I just see Matip coming in.
Do you see anything different to that, Grace?
No, pretty similar to what you said, to be fair. I just think I was staggered that in Villa, when we played Villarreal the other night, that Henderson didn't start. Because for me, that now seems a bit like, well, we need that mentality rather than his ability, if that makes any sense. We kind of need his drive. So for me, I think Henderson has to start this weekend.
Okay, John. I mean, so you do you think you'll go Henderson in the six, or do you think it'll be Fabinho in the six and then Milner? What's your where do we end up with Milner playing?
Yeah, I think he'll go Henderson in the six with Milner left side, and then maybe Naby right. And then I think Fabinho and Thiago he holds back for
Villa.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, just started coughing there. Aston Villa.
Okay,
the suspense.
Okay then, Ian. I felt like you were on the verge of predicting a draw.
You know what, Neil? I mean, you don't want to come on these shows and predict Liverpool not to win football matches. And I think we will edge you. But I think, you know, I think there is a world where this can be a really, really tough game for us, to be honest. And I think, you know, Gibbo speaks there about maybe Fabinho not starting. I'd be concerned if that was the case. And I think, you know, Harry Kane just dropping into those pockets and stuff. And I think whilst Henderson can do that role, I think Liverpool need to be really full strength there. I think the gap between the Villarreal fixture and this one, let's be honest, these lads, they've been primed for this. This is what it's all about. This is what pre-season's about, getting ready for this running, for this moment, so you are in absolute peak condition. And whilst you'll have to have an eye on the sports science, and there'll be conversations going on in the background, I'm sure, I would be surprised if he tweaked the midfield to the extent where suddenly Milner's coming in. I thought Milner was great against Newcastle. This is a different proposition. And I know Newcastle have been in really, really good form since the turn of the year. But I just think because of the forward threat that Spurs can on any given day pose. Yeah. And let's not build them up too much. You know, they've not been great for a large part of the season.
And that's Villa.
And Liverpool, if things just click. And, you know, I think Liverpool will have been spared on by what happened against Real Madrid for Man City, because there's a scenario where heads could go over in Manchester now. That could be a thing where, you know, all of a sudden they had three trophies to win 4 or 5 weeks ago. They're now down to one. Don't get me wrong, it's a massive one. But things could change mentality-wise for them. You know, things are maybe just feeling slightly different. So Liverpool could go and whack Spurs 4-0. And no one's going on a show Monday morning and being surprised by that either. But I just think, you know, it's been a long run. We've played particularly well at home for a while now. And these things don't always last forever. So that's maybe where I'm a little bit concerned. But I think on paper, Neil, you've got to back Liverpool to win the game. And I think they will edge you. But the point I was making before is I don't think you're massively surprised if Spurs do come away with something.
Okay. Grace, draw, Liverpool win. What are we going with?
I think we'll win 2-1.
2-1, John?
3-0 Liverpool.
Excellent stuff. Get John,
very optimistic, John.
What a Saturday night from John. And that's the first time that's been said. It's been a pleasure. On tour live this week. Thanks to everyone, but especially to Ian, to Grace, and to John. Let's see where we all are. Download the app. All the build-up, all the preview, post-press conference work, everything you can possibly imagine coming to you on the Anfield app. If you download the app, you can use the tokens. You can go from there. We'll see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.